Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Just one tiny little word of caution this morning.
What?
Don't slip.
I don't know why, because I should have been prepared. I saw the little notification that I got that said expect some possible snow in the wee hours of the morning. But when I let the dog out and I saw snow covering the back steps, I was like, I gasped. I literally gasped.
Was it a shock of pleasure? Like, I love it. It's here. Or it's like, how did that happen?
It was, what? It was like,
who left this mess out here?
Yes. It was like in a soap opera when, Rodrigo, what are you doing
you
here?
You had a telenova.
Yes.
Soap opera moment.
It was a telenovela and my evil twin had entered the room. I thought you were dead. Yeah.
What?
And then, snow?
Do you rub your eyes?
Snow way! What are you doing here? Yeah, it was like that.
Like that.
It's exactly like that.
I just looked at it and went, ah, crap, I got to clean that up or the dogs aren't going to go on the steps.
Really?
That's my first thought.
I want,
because they have sensitive paws, right?
Really?
So old school house, they just would bound down the stairs. Now they have to go out to a landing and it's covered in snow. And so I'm going to have to sweep. Well, it's going to melt. But it just, my first thought was, crap, I'm going to have to start shoveling pee pads.
Well, and you've got like, you've got an elderly dog to worry about,
I do have
right?
Who geriatric. Can't see.
Yeah.
We have a new game. It's called Follow the Flashlight.
Aww.
It's adorable. It works. Works quite well, actually.
Such a sweetie. And he's got such spunk, though.
He does. For a dog that cannot see or hear. He still has energy. I'll give him that.
He does.
He has a healthy appetite.
I didn't know what Rex was going to do, because this is like, I'm like, oh, this is our first snow with him. This is our first like Christmas. I haven't put up any tree.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't know how he's going to react to stuff like this. So I was really excited to see how he was going to take the snow.
And?
Quick in, quick out, which I loved.
Oh, that's right. Do your business.
Yeah.
Get in, get out.
Get in, get out.
Especially like, yesterday and all that wind.
I feel
like the dog twice looked at me like, you cannot be serious, Clark.
The thing about the wind was he did not care about the wind. He still wanted to walk.
No.
Yeah.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Did you go?
Well, you know what? It was good for me. So shout out to Rex.
Got I was going to shout out you. Good for you.
Got me moving. Thanks, buddy.
Rex, your personal trainer?
Yeah. You know, I did not want to.
Rex Kwando?
Yeah. And I did not want to, but I did it.
That's admirable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that I was getting gas at like, I don't know, 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and it just sucked.
It was
cold. Like I've got gloves, I don't have a hat, and my coat had a little bit of a neck lining, but you're just like, you're a little match girl.
And the little shards of freezy.
Yeah, just kind of pelting your face.
Snow, but it was like snowy glass.
Well, then it stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Then I worked out. And then as I'm walking out, then it like, it's those little salt pellets.
Yeah.
Those came through later.
Yeah. It wasn't quite snow. It was just like somebody was throwing little snowballs.
But it was a nice little snow amuse-bouche, so we know it's coming.
Yeah.
Right?
It's going to be serious.
But I have to think, if we had a little glaze, our friends in Marion probably got out the snowplows.
I know. We should probably send them a message and just say, who? I can't imagine it was the whole fleet, right? It ate snowplows. Seems
know.
Like overkill.
I had to run all the way out to Solid Waste Agency yesterday, and coming back, mostly because I'm very bad at directions, I kind of got lost in Robbins. But I...
Oh, my Lord.
You oh, my just, God.
From Marion, no, you head south to Cedar Rapids.
I got lost in Robbins.
Oh, honey.
Anyway, it's so fun because
bless
I got
his heart.
I got to watch them dispatch all of the Linmar buses. Because it was right about 3 o'clock.
So
I must have been close to the bus barn. And the only thing bring that up, because I'm sure somewhere there's also a plow barn and like they dispatched them.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I got lost in Robin yesterday.
We should go hang out at the plow barn.
At the plow barn?
Yeah.
Okay.
We should just hang out there. We should bring donuts and coffee to the plow barn and just hang out some snowy day.
Just kind of chew the fat.
Yeah.
See how lives are among the crew.
Yeah.
Driving those plows.
See if we can hitch a ride. Stuff like that. Yeah.
You know what? City manager Ryan Waller said a ride-along was possible.
He said we could.
We just got to work on the timing.
Yes.
So we need one of those
timing.
When we know it's coming in like late afternoon, pop over there a little after lunch, have a little coffee donut, mm-hmm. post-lunch snack.
Yeah.
And then hop in the plow.
Yeah.
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 I love it.
That's going to be awesome.
I love that we took, this is why we named snowplows, right?
Yep.
Most people are going to wake up a little grumbly. If you park outside, you might have to like scrape your car.
Yeah.
But there is fun in this thing.
There can be.
And we found it.
Yep.
Yep.
You just got to find it.
Got to find the fun.
Found it. And we got to remember, as beautiful as that little covering of snow is this yeah. morning, you might want to take it a little bit slower, especially like on overpasses, bridges, stuff like that.
Just, even your driveway or walking down your steps.
Yes. Yeah.
Because the way the wind blows across that, it crystallizes, becomes a little slippery.
It does.
It's slippery right outside our back door.
It is. Yeah.
I look for we don't have the salt out yet.
Just little patches yeah. here and there, that the S curve, you might want to just slow down a little bit on your commute this morning. Nobody likes to see a maniac driving too fast, especially in certain neighborhoods. It just seems like a road can go too fast, but you can't take matters into your own hands.
Boy, sometimes I want to, though.
I get it. I understand.
Especially by neighborhood, I see just people tear. Like, we're a residential neighborhood. It's 25, maybe it's 30, and Kennedy lets out, and then it's a drag show. Kid, not that type of drag show.
Different drag show. Drag racing?
Drag racing show. And then it's just, they peel around the corner, and they're probably going 40, 50.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
And you got little kids that get out.
And I
want to,
like, run out and yell at them. I want to stop them.
Yeah.
I want to take matters in my own hands.
You're not supposed to do that, though. I'll take you to Boulder, Colorado, where somebody did do that. They put up their own traffic signs. And they did a professional job, too. These are not pieces of cardboard with, you know, marker signs.
Like a lemonade for sale sign?
No, no. These are professionally produced signs. They put them on actually mounted street signs. They look like real, like something the city would have put up, except you know that the city didn't put them up because these signs are profane traffic signs.
Oh my.
Yeah. Saying things like, get off your damn phone.
I'm okay with that one.
I know, that one's kind of.
Or did you change a word in there?
Nope, that one's okay. I'm gonna
edit the other ones?
Edit some of the other ones. Slow the beep down. Don't kill any kids today.
I'm okay with that too.
Slow down.
Yeah. Is that just one word?
For no reason, just slow down.
I'm trying to picture what that word is.
I can't help you.
What letters to start with?
I can't help you.
Tell me.
No.
I'm going to start reading the alphabet from the top and you tell me when to stop.
Just. No. So the police don't think this is funny, okay? It's fun. It's funny, but the police are not, like, they're not laughing. The person responsible could possibly be charged with criminal tampering. The city's in the process of removing the signs, and they are looking for whoever.
Oh, we don't know who it is.
We don't know who it is. But
I feel like that's something you probably bragged about in the neighborhood.
If they find out it was you, you're in trouble.
I'm on the side of this person, though.
I know.
Justice. I get it.
It's kind of like Batman, right?
I mean, this is just like the story I had yesterday about the signs and Ames. Mm-hmm. They're putting how much it costs if you rolled through a stop sign.
It's kind of a sassy sign, but it was installed by the right people.
That's the only, you just took matters, you vigilanted it.
Yes.
You can't do that.
If you had worked with the correct authorities, maybe you could have gotten your point across.
Yeah.
And it would have been done correctly. You can't just install
signs
wherever you want to.
And probably not of that level of language.
I don't
it's a little
think
blue.
You're supposed to use that language.
Slow down. Beep. Bleep.
Bleeps. A lot of bleeps.
Bleeps.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
I don't want you to take any offense, okay? But you're not the first person I want to have this conversation with.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, but...
Anytime you start with no offense, but...
I know, it's the worst way to start. But seriously, I'm going back and forth because coming up this weekend, we've got a family Thanksgiving. We're doing mm-hmm. an early Thanksgiving. And as we were kind of like all saying what we're bringing, all the dishes... The second I said, I'm going to bring chocolate pie, somebody else also said, I'm going to bring French silk pie, which is a little bit better than chocolate pie.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
It's basically the same thing, only French, which is better.
Always.
Right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you agree?
No, gosh, yes.
I'd rather
Hands
have
down.
French silk pie.
Yes.
So I feel like, and that's also two chocolate pies.
Don't need two chocolate pies.
We don't need two chocolate pies. So I feel like I need to do something different. Mm-hmm. So can you talk through pie with me?
Can I? Oh, yes.
I knew you'd come through.
Sweet cherry pie. That's what you need to make.
That's okay. You know what? I kind of thought maybe a fruit pie. We've got good, pecan and pumpkin and
already done. Yeah. A good tart cherry pie sounds fantastic.
Cherry pie is a classic as well. Cherry pie is your suggestion?
Please.
Please. And it would look nice with that, like if I did a latticey thing on the top.
Yes. Because most people, you're an apple family.
Yeah.
I have a feeling you guys have apple everything all the time.
Yeah.
This is why cherry's going to knock their socks off.
Okay.
They're not going to see it coming.
Yeah. So yeah. Surprise.
Cherry. Now, random question, and I'm actually asking this 100% seriously. Can you make cranberry pie?
I have never, but if you recall, one time we made a Coke pie, so you can pie
you can pie about anything. I know we did that.
Will it pie?
Will it pie? I don't
know. Will it be good? I don't know. It depends. Like fresh? Yeah. No? Yes. Because like, you know that can of cranberry?
Yeah.
You can make that into a pie.
I don't want you to do that.
I don't want
to
do that either.
Please don't. I'm just thinking out loud.
Are you suggesting I make a cranberry pie?
No.
Maybe.
Now, can you make a regular cherry pie and then make a small cranberry pie?
A small, for science.
For science sake.
Yeah.
Think, buy a smaller pie dish. I don't know. Just thinking out loud.
Yeah, like a doll's size
I've never heard
pie.
Of cranberry pie.
I haven't either.
Let's try it. Thinking.
Okay.
Thinking.
You know what? You're a strange
little man.
Thanksgiving scientist, but I'm there for it.
I wear lab coats to a lot of events.
You know what? I was sorry to have this conversation with you, and now I'm kind of glad I did.
Why were you going to be sorry?
I don't know. Just not my first choice.
Who would you? Wait, what?
I don't know. Like Betty Crocker. Okay.
Well, I'll clearly go to a cookbook before going to me. Yes.
Yeah.
By
no,
all
I'm saying like Martha Stewart.
Clearly again.
Yeah.
Yes. Who's that lady your husband and my wife adore?
Ina Garten.
That one.
Yeah.
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 Well, who's the racist one?
What?
Touch of Butter.
Paula Deen.
Paula Deen.
Who's the racist one?
Those are the people you should probably consult first.
Yeah.
But they aren't here.
Right.
I'm here.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Have access to one button and one button only, and it's this button, which is why I should always be your first choice, especially when it comes to dessert questions.
Do you have any other pie suggestions?
That's the only one I have.
Musical-based pie suggestions.
The only musical pie suggestion I have
cherry.
Is cherry pie.
All right.
Yes.
All right.
Okay, there we are. Need pizza last night. And you know, there's that chalkboard wall, so we're sitting inside the door. And in come all of these athletes, and they're all wearing matching, like their tracksuits, right?
Uh-huh.
Because the NJCAA Division II Volleyball Tournament is in town.
What's the
junior college.
Junior college.
Kirkwood.
Right,
Kirkwood's in it, for example. And we are like, oh, that's kind of cool. They're in, like, we knew they were in town. They're at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse for a couple more days for their championships. But we were trying to get like a glance of what team they are, and none of us could figure it out.
Hmm.
We just know they're blue. So I printed out the brackets.
Okay.
So they're either the Hartford Fighting Owls, they could be the Pensacola State Pirates, they could be the Heartland Hawks, they could be the Iowa Central Tritons. I don't know. But I got to looking at all of these teams. Do you realize people, I don't know if they fly or drive here, but right now in Cedar Rapids, we have a team from Panama City, Florida.
Whoa.
Petersburg, Virginia. Pensacola, Florida. Enterprise, Alabama. Hartford, Maryland. Flint, Michigan. All of these teams are in our town
right now. That is a long
That's pretty
way
cool.
to travel. Yeah.
So I just wanted to take a moment to say hello. And welcome to Cedar Rapids. May you enjoy. By the way, I don't know what they were making at Quaker yesterday. I think it was apple cinnamon oatmeal.
Oh.
There was a lovely smell at about 12:50 yesterday afternoon.
You guys have to, you timed that perfectly.
Bottle that up. Mm. If that's when they got into town and got off the bus and they smelled that, they're not going to leave.
Welcome.
They're going to love this place. Matt Whitaker at Iowan, been selected to be the U.S. ambassador to NATO. Whitaker was the acting U.S. attorney general for 3 months during Trump's first term in office. His nomination, of course, has to be confirmed by the Senate. Whitaker has won Senate confirmation before. He was an attorney for the Southern District of Iowa during George W. Bush's second term. Whitaker, a communications, MBA, and law graduate from the University of Iowa. Giving you a little sports short this morning. Sports shorts! I have to assume, I can't confirm, but it makes absolute sense that your third-seeded Iowa women's soccer team was the bus I saw when I was dropping Shannon off at the airport this morning because they're getting ready to take on Georgetown as part of a 32-team field in the NCAA women's soccer's finals.
Well, then it stands to reason.
And match is in California.
Oh,
yes.
California.
Oh, my God. They're going to California.
Wait, what?
They're going to play Georgetown, the Hoyas, at 6 p.m. tomorrow night in Los Angeles.
But, like, who are the Hoyas?
What are you eating here?
Wait, what's a Hoya?
I think it's a dog.
What?
What's got us feeling all right besides that?
I'm delighted.
Any opportunity, California can be added to the conversation.
Yeah.
The Lightline Bridge. Do I need a review?
No. Wait. The connection points.
Okay. So earlier this week, Cedar Rapids City Council gave the green light to the plans and the specs for the Alliant Energy Lightline Bridge. The bridge has been a project of two nonprofits. They became ConnectCR. The project replaces the washed-out railroad bridge destroyed in the 2008 floods with a bridge that connects the Nubo side of the river with the other side, which would be Czech Village.
Mm-hmm.
And it appears to be landing about where I have seen plans for a future river roundhouse, a new
That's
Czech
right.
Village
yeah, yeah.
roundhouse. So the projects are out, or the project, the bid, or the project is up for bid now. Contractors should be selected by mid-December. Then they're going to have groundbreaking in February of 2025. I do not know how long it's going to take to make this thing. Look at the renderings, though. It's quite a marvel of engineering.
It's going to be amazing.
If you go to the ConnectCR Facebook page, they posted some renderings back. I think it was in October. This thing, it's not even straight, too. It kind of has an L or a J shape to it.
Yeah. I don't
know
how it works.
Sleeping Giant was used once for one of the names. It's going to have this big tower that's going to span those, and then those cables are going to hold the bridge up.
Kind of like the smokestack that they took down,
I think that's
right?
kind of in homage. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole idea. But, you know, good news. The city has basically said, proceed, please. So out for bid, break ground, make bridge open. Those are the next four steps. That's all they got to do.
Love it.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze with Claire.
Okay. Following an election, it always happens. People are like, I'm so upset that my person didn't win. I am moving. I am leaving this country and I'm never coming back. But
how to move to Canada.
Right, right, right. Nobody ever does it, though, until now. And this is just a rumor. But Ellen DeGeneres and Portia de Rossi are reportedly moving to England, selling their estate in Montecito, California. And sources say it is politically motivated. The key word is sources, because it is an official. It's just being kind of reported, bandied about, because Ellen and Portia were spotted at a British pub last week. They were watching the Irish band The Corrs perform, and supposedly they already have a home purchased in a region called Cotswold.
Is it permanent or could just be a vacation home?
It could be a vacation home. You know, a lot of people have second homes when you're that wealthy. You know, ooh.
As much as we've loved London, we've joked about, like, dreamed of living in London someday.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
But whatever's in your bank account, divide it by two, because it's twice as much or more to live there.
To live there.
It's so expensive.
Right.
Exchange rate. It makes no sense to move there.
Yeah.
But if they want to get out of here, I guess they want to get out of here.
If they, and, you know, at that point, they're probably fine to do so, you know, financially. They're probably okay. All right. Yesterday, it looked like Post Malone may be announcing that he might possibly be headlining Coachella. He released a full list of where he'll be touring this year. And two of the dates looked like maybe he was going to be in the area where
in the vicinity in the neighborhood of
in
Coachella,
the same timeline as Coachella, and people were like, is that an announcement? And usually they don't make the announcement of who's headlining Coachella until about January, but I think Posty might have forced their hand, because we got the full Coachella announcement
way early.
Yeah, the 2025 Coachella lineup is out, featuring Lady Gaga, Green Day, Travis Scott, and Post Malone.
There it is.
Yeah, figured. Travis Scott is also going to be designing the festival. He says it's a new chapter with a new performance, and whatever he's planning is first of its kind.
All right.
I don't know what that means.
Drones.
Other performers include Charlie XCX, Megan Thee Stallion, Missy Elliott, the original Misfits, T-Pain, Lisa from Blackpink, Jimmy Eat World, Shaboozy, Dijo, which is Joe Keery from Stranger Things. And this is blowing my mind, but the children's TV show characters Yo Gabba Gabba
are on stage at Coachella?
Yeah. My kid watched this growing up, and I am so excited.
Do you want to go to Coachella?
I kind of do, and I kind of want to go see Yo Gabba Gabba the most out of all these. They're really good.
They actually had a big following of adults.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. It's weird because some of the people behind the children's show helped produce Coachella, the music festival. So the characters have been seen in the audience of Coachella before, but never before on stage. So now they're just featuring the characters of Yo Gabba Gabba on stage.
Let's book our seats right
now. For the first time ever. Yeah, weird. Coachella goes down April 11th to the 13th, and then the next weekend, April 18th or the 20th. Pre-sale passes go on sale tomorrow. General admission starts at $599.
I think Coachella is thinking this is the Christmas present of the year.
That's a good idea,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
Pretty good idea. Okay, last night was the CMAs, the Country Music Awards, and the big winner of the night was Morgan Wallen. He won the big award, which was Entertainer of the Year, which, wow, huge accomplishment. But just to keep him humble, actor Jeff Bridges was there announcing the category and apparently has never heard of Morgan Wallen before.
Waylon! Jennings. Morgan Waylon Jennings.
Waylon? I don't know who he is. Morgan was also not there to accept the award, so I don't know how he celebrated. I hope it wasn't with a chair anywhere in the
vicinity. Wailing on somebody?
Wailing anywhere. So,
is that the worst one since John Travolta messed up?
Adele Dazeem. The wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
Wailing.
At least he got the Morgan part.
True,
one.
That's a good point.
But that's hard to mess up.
Marshall Wallen.
Wailing. And that's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
All right, we're coming up on an evening with Peter Billingsley, but we are lucky enough to have a morning conversation with Peter Billingsley. Super excited. Good morning, Peter Billingsley.
Good morning. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Usually I get kind of freaked out, like, oh my gosh, we're talking to a celebrity, but you kind of feel like celebrity and good friend.
We know, yeah. You and your glasses every Christmas season, right?
We know you.
I feel like we know you.
I think when you're in people's homes for 24 straight hours, you kind of have that effect on people.
Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense. Well, we're getting ready for an evening with Peter Billingsley and A Christmas Story. It's all happening Saturday, November the 30th at Paramount Theater in Cedar Rapids. That's a 7 o'clock show. What are people in store for who will be in the audience that night, Peter?
Well, I think first and foremost, you know, this is a film that that originally came out in 1983, and a lot of people didn't have a chance to see it in a theater. So first and foremost, getting to see it on the big screen, it's a comedy. Obviously, it plays well. There's great laughs. I've had the good fortune to see it with lots of different crowds, and that's fun. Secondly, you know, we did the sequel a couple of years ago, Christmas Story Christmas, and through that, I really researched the first film a ton. And I kind of deep dove into it, and it brought up a lot of memories, a lot of really fun stories. And so I'm going to share a lot of things kind of behind the scenes, how the film was made, and a lot of the experiences that I had on set. And really, these are a lot of stories that I've never shared publicly before, because kind of the exercise of going back and deep diving into the film really started to bring them up.
That's kind of the cool part about this, because you do get to experience that with you. So you're open to question and answer after you watch the movie.
Yes, exactly. So I'll share some, and then we're going to turn it over to the audience and any questions that they have about me, my life, career, the film, bring them on.
I love also that you kind of have this Toys for Tots thing going on as well.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to have a charitable component to this. Obviously, Ralphie, you know, the film's about a guy who really wants his one Christmas gift. And I've done work with Toys for Tots over the years, and just the idea that, you know, some kids don't have any toys. Mm-hmm. And it's just a group that, you know, really tries to ensure that all kids have something. So we're just going to have a QR code. There's no pressure, but if people feel like giving, great.
That's wonderful.
Make it nice and simple. Yeah. And then somebody will be doing some receiving. You give out a leg lamp at every show. Is that right?
We do, yes. Somebody lucky will be able to receive a leg lamp, and I will also sign it for them.
Oh, great.
Okay, wait. Does it come in a big box that says Fragile on it?
We've taken the extra step of removing it from the box for you, but it will be a full-size leg lamp. They've got those minis. It's great. You know, it's nuts how much merchandise they have on this movie. Nobody thought it. Just this movie continues to be a story of sort of unexpected outcomes. It was a small movie that took the filmmakers 12 years to get made, kind of came and went in the theaters and found this second life. And here we are 40 years later, still talking about it and having the good fortune to be able to do a few shows with it.
Probably still getting bigger every year, too.
Yeah.
On the phone with the Morning Scramble is Peter Billingsley. We're getting ready for him and A Christmas Story coming to the Paramount Theater November 30th. Peter, Claire just gave you the quote of Fragile. What's the most common quote or movie scene people like to reminisce with you about if they run into you at an airport or an event like this?
Well, probably the line I hear most is over my shoulder, "You'll shoot your eye out."
Yeah.
That's probably the most common one. But I'll say, you know, the biggest takeaway consistently from the movie is most people want me to hear how much the movie means to them. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, this will be a fun opportunity for me to share stories from the film, because so many of the fans say really two things. One, that's my family. And there's such a relatability to the Parkers that they see in their own families. And secondly, they want me to know of the traditions that they have, how every year they watch it, you know, some it's during present wrapping and during dinner, and that it stays on in their house all day long. And by the way, that 24-hour marathon, I had nothing to do with that. It came out and I saw that for sure. I was like, oh, this will be interesting to see if this works.
Over and over and over again.
I know. I think it might have been the first time. I know Twilight Zone does one for their thing, I think on New Year's. But they're different episodes. This is the same movie over and over again, and people just don't really get tired of it. I'll say it does wind up on at our house, not because I want to watch myself, but at this point, it kind of doesn't feel like Christmas unless you just hear a few minutes of the sound.
That's my big question.
It's interesting. It's like, just, you know, I don't go up and stand in front of the TV and watch it, but I do kind of karmically feel like I have to put it on.
Just for a few minutes. Kids, come watch me, and now I will act out this scene, and now I will act out this scene.
No, they're cut over. They like it, they see it, but I just, you know, I kind of want to hear that voiceover. Makes me feel comfortable, and then I can move on.
Claire, I'm so glad we got in a question for Peter Billingsley about what it's like to watch himself on TV every Christmas, and he's kind of used to it.
Right, because we all are watching 24 hours of A Christmas Story. You have to.
And then the fact that, of course, it's coming to Cedar Rapids at the end of this month. So that was the first half of our conversation with Peter. But we got more coming up.
But wait, there's more. More Peter Billingsley on your radio on Z102.9.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric, your friends and neighbors. Z102.9.
Z102.9 and the Morning Scramble. Two of us in the room, one on the telephone. We're going to get back to our conversation with Peter Billingsley. Christmas Story really isn't his only movie.
No, actually, he has kind of become Mr. Hollywood. He's very well connected.
You've got connections to the Marvel Universe, to the movie Elf, and then, of course, there was the sequel to A Christmas Story,
which he actually had a big hand in. How special was it to come up and revisit things with A Christmas Story Christmas? Because, oh my gosh, I really, really enjoyed experiencing that, revisiting all of that with my family and watching that once again. And I know that you had a big hand in creating that.
Yeah, it was. I think in some ways, because the big first question I got there is why so long? And in some ways, it was almost freeing to be that far removed from it. I think it was 39 years. So we're certainly had one or in the running for the longest time between a first and a second movie. And I think being able to imagine what Ralph was as a dad was such a fun way in and where he was in his life. And then to take, you know, Stutt and Schwartz and Flick and see where they are. So in many ways it was freeing, But you're right. We developed it and worked on it for close to 5 years before we went. We really wanted to make sure that we got it right. And we weren't going to move forward if it was in any way going to do damage to the first film. But again, I think having them all be grown up mm-hmm. just gave us a lot of license to have fun. And we really just tried to kind of match the great tone, which was created in the first film.
Peter, I want to take a second and talk about just your good fortune. The fact that this movie has become such classic and iconic in family traditions. Then, of course, you've been able to cement yourself in the MCU, right? You're a Marvel character.
Yes.
And you're also connected to another beloved movie for the holidays, which is Elf. Do you just find yourself to be lucky or right place, right time? Or how did all this happen?
Very, very blessed for sure. I think even Iron Man was sort of a similar thing. I have done a lot of work with Vince and, we continue with Vince Vaughn and continue to make a lot of movies. And I've worked with John too as well, Favreau. And, that was a movie that was kind of like not a lot of expectations on it. Marvel was trying to push all in on that film. Spider-Man and a lot of the bigger titles, those rights had been given out to other places. And it was just sort of this kind of magical time and moment to be able to have that film work out the way it does. And obviously what it's launched. Christmas Story, as I said, took 12 years to get made. Nobody really wanted to do it. The studios actually only agreed to it because Bob Clark had directed a movie called Porky's. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It had some success. And so they kind of, believe it or not, so weird to think of the two in the same space, but Porky's has many reasons why they greenlit Christmas Story. And then I think even Elf was, just a film John called and said, will you come do a little cameo in it? And I said, look, I don't want to take credit in the crawl for it. Just want to be in it and kind of have it be something fun for fans to sort of find. And obviously that film has now, moved itself into the pantheon of Christmas classics.
Yeah.
So, yes, I don't know if it's good fortune, luck, a little bit of all of them, but I've been working at this business now since 3 and started transitioning around 18 behind the scenes. Bob Clark was a great mentor to me, and you just keep working on this stuff, and it's always the ones you least expect are the ones that seem to have the most resonance, and the ones that you think, oh, this one's really going to break out and maybe be a hit, often aren't, and then it's the inverse on the other one. So I don't know, you put your head down, work on stuff that you're passionate about, and just try.
Well, we're looking forward to a magical evening with you. Peter Billingsley, A Christmas Story is going to be in Cedar Rapids. Tickets for sale through the artsiowa.com website. Saturday, November the 30th, 7 p.m. at the Paramount Theater. Looking forward to seeing you in town in a couple of weeks. And thank you so much for spending some time with us this morning, Peter. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you both. This was lots of fun, and a very, very merry Christmas to you.
Same to you.
Well.
Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Bye now.
Claire and Eric can't agree.
All right.
So it's up to you. It's Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
Hot chocolate!
Not since Tom Hanks or maybe producer Ben have I seen anyone so excited about hot chocolate.
That is true. Ben is not a coffee drinker.
Nope.
So when we go on coffee runs, he requests either chocolate milk mm-hmm. or hot chocolate.
Yes.
And we're always happy to oblige.
Happy!
But it got us debating the other day. Usually when you go to a barista place,
yes.
hot chocolate is served with a whipped topping. If I think about my childhood, and most all hot chocolates I've seen before, those are served with mini marshmallows.
I am with you on that. However, as an adult, I tend to say thank you to my adult baristas in the adding of the whipped cream onto the hot cocoa.
So our argument today, how do you top your cocoa? Claire is teamed whipped cream. Would you like to take to the jury stand?
The jury?
Do you want the floor?
Can I get on the jury stand?
You can, but they're going to ask you to get down.
Okay, I'm going to get down off of that right now. Oh, it's high. Okay, let me get down.
Okay.
Okay, guys.
And that's old wood. Be careful.
Guys, here's the deal. We're adults, right? I get that you grew up and mommy put marshmallows in your hot cocoa, right? It was great. You had all these little bobbing blobbies in there. But what happened? The cornstarch dust on those marshmallows got all dissolved on there, and it was the absolute worst. Now we've got something just a little bit better. Whipped cream. It melts perfectly into the cocoa. It's faster and it's way more fun to go and add your own whipped cream, go right on the top of the hot cocoa. It adds a more delicate flavor as well for my more refined palate. No more of the trying to bob through your marshmallows to get to the actual hot cocoa. It also, I'm sorry if I'm going to take a picture that, like, you know, Instagram, I'm having hot cocoa. It looks better because you could see the whipped topping on top. And if I want to add sprinkles, so it looks like, ooh, pretty. It looks better too. Taste, looks, mouthfeel. Whipped cream, I think you'll find, has it all. I rest.
What happened to your childlike innocence, Claire?
Dead.
What happened? It is dead. It clearly is dead. The fact that it takes you back to that memory of mama or papa adding your marshmallows to your hot chocolate. And now as an adult, you can add as many of those little dudes as you want to. It's part of the fun of making hot chocolate. It makes it an interactive experience. Not only can you add and add and add, they also keep their form. It becomes more of an activity or a game where you're bobbing for the marshmallows. Whipped cream dilutes the flavor of the hot chocolate. It ruins it. And the more you stack up the whipped cream, the more it takes you to get to what you want, which is the hot chocolate. The marshmallows go on top and melt down. It's made for that. Why, by the way, does the marshmallow industry even make Tidy marshmallows? There's no other need for them except for hot chocolate. Google hot chocolate, and you're going to find more pictures of marshmallows, my friend, than you're going to find of a whipped cream topping. Also, it's just makes you feel like your home. Remember that scene in Ratatouille when Ego, remember Ratatouille? And Ego has that one bite of Ratatouille and it goes back to that little boy who came in from the outdoors. That's the sensation when you have a hot cup of cocoa with tiny, tiny marshmallows.
I'm sorry, you guys, marshmallow's star witness was a rat?
My star witness was Ratatouille. Marshmallows are where it's at. They're the best part. Marshmallows are it.
Marshmallows are it.
Just think, when you think little tiny marshmallows, think Ratatouille. I rest.
He's got a slogan and everything.
Yes. When you think tiny marshmallows and hot chocolate, think Ratatouille.
Okay, clearly we do not agree, and the stakes are quite high, people.
They are.
We're going to go get hot cocoa today.
What are we putting on top?
What are we getting? Are we doing marshmallows or are we doing whipped cream?
Who's going to win their case today, Claire or Eric? Jury in a Hurry on Z102.9.
Hey, Jury in a Hurry, going marshmallow or whipped topping?
Marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
Oh, a classic. Thank you very much.
Jury in a Hurry, marshmallows or whipped cream?
Marshmallows.
Thank
marshmallows.
You.
Okay.
I'm inviting all these people over for a marshmallow party.
We got some classics here.
Hey, it's Jury in a Hurry. What are you putting on top of your cocoa? Marshmallows or whipped cream?
Well, this is where I'm different, Eric. I'm going to agree with both of you.
Whoa.
Because my grandma used to make it for me. She would put whipped cream on, chocolate sprinkles, and then marshmallows on top.
Whoa!
So that way when the whipped cream melts, I still have my marshmallows.
Oh, you know what? That's the best answer.
Sounds fantastic.
We're going to set you aside, but just want to put votes in both categories?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, thank you for the vote.
And that's my first vote, everybody.
Yay! All right, we're making hot cocoa. Are you putting marshmallows on there or whipped cream?
Marshmallows for sure. Whipped cream just tastes gross.
Thanks. Oh! You know, that is Uber driver Kevin.
What?
He knows what he's doing.
Uber driver Kevin.
It's Jury in a Hurry. How are you topping your cocoa? Marshmallows or whipped cream?
Marshmallows are for s'mores. Whipped cream all the way.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh,
a little logic thrown back in my face.
I think I want that to be my tiny lawyer.
Tiny lawyer.
Hello, tiny lawyer.
Jury in a Hurry. How are you topping your cocoa? Marshmallows or whipped cream?
Definitely marshmallows because they look so pretty floating there.
They look pretty, Claire.
Pretty.
It's part of the complete package.
Dead.
They're not dead. They're not little dead little fish.
In the brown.
No, they're fun to bob for. Jury in a Hurry, a cup of cocoa. What's on top? Marshmallows or whipped cream?
Whipped cream.
Whipped cream. He's in with whipped cream.
Whipped cream.
All right, we put it down.
Thank you, Jur.
Now, he said it twice, but I'm only giving you one vote.
Oh, come on.
Okay, it looks like I have a 4-3 lead, so not too much. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's kind of neck and neck here.
Back to the calls we go. Hi, Jury in a Hurry. How are you topping your cocoa? Whipped cream or marshmallows?
Well, I have a caveat.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Claire gets my vote.
Yes,
today.
She does.
A coffee shop will not go through enough marshmallows just serving hot chocolate to keep them fresh and good.
Ah.
So I think that whipped top is a better choice.
Thank okay. you very much, Juror.
And as adults, I think whipped top as well.
I would agree with you. I would agree.
Well reasoned, by the way.
Yes, exactly.
And I have a feeling, I don't know that person, but I think he's well read also.
And a lawyer.
He's probably an actual lawyer. We are now in a tie of 4-4. Jury in a Hurry, you're having a cup of cocoa. Is it topped with marshmallows or whipped cream?
Oh, marshmallows all the way.
All the way to marshmallows.
All the way.
All right, let's go over here. Jury in a Hurry, cup of cocoa. What's on top for you, marshmallows or whipped cream?
Marshmallows.
Marshmallows.
Oh, no. Eric, you just need one more vote to win this thing.
That caveat guy, though, now makes me think I would just want to have a bunch of whipped cream on top of it. He was right. But no, I am not changing my
kinda
mind.
Kind of talked you into it? Wait a second. Are you flopping? Wait,
not,
you want to vote for me?
I'm not giving you a vote. I'm one vote away. Just one. I just need one more vote. Jury in a Hurry, what's on top of your hot cocoa, marshmallows or whipped cream?
We are a house divided. My 9-year-old says marshmallows. Mom says whipped cream.
Well, I have a one in each column.
What?
I take the win because of the divided house. Woo!
No!
Thank you for both votes. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Close.
This is the Morning Scramble.
The Morning Scramble.
On Z102.9.
But Pierre, I think I associate you with Christmas, and I think mm-hmm. that a lot of people would think you're kind of an authority. So do you mind if we kind of pepper you, because a lot of times Eric and I don't see eye to eye on certain things.
Oh, interesting. Well, isn't that the great thing about Christmas is that it brings up a lot of this, right?
Yes.
It brings up a lot of conflict, okay? It does.
It's friendly conflict. It's friendly fire.
Uncles, parents, yeah. kids, siblings,
yes.
right?
Yes.
But here's the thing I'll say about Christmas and why I love it. There's still something magical on Christmas morning that happens where, despite all that, it's kind of an amazing day and a good feeling, and we can kind of heal some wounds and some past. So I think if we disagree on the things, it's sort of the one day we can kind of agree to disagree. And it's why these Christmas movies, I think, are so resonant. And they in some ways have like this little kernel of hope. And, you know, even Christmas Story is kind of the same. It's, you know, it's that's a tough little household in there. The mom's smashing lamps and, you know, the little guy's hiding under the cabinet. He thinks his dad's going to kill Ralphie and, you know, but there's a lot of love
yeah.
in it. And, you know, no one's leaving that house. And Christmas morning, something great happens.
It's Christmas morning and then ends with a great meal right at the Chinese restaurant.
Right.
That's
which
right.
brings everybody
yeah.
together.
And even
yes.
that goes bad, but you make the best of it because
exactly.
it's actually Christmas Day.
Well, this little debate's not too bad.
All right. So what do you guys got?
We have to go back and forth sometimes. And we call it Jury in a Hurry. We let people decide who they think is right, who they think is wrong. But what about growing up? Did Santa bring gifts to your house wrapped or unwrapped?
Wrapped.
Wrapped. Okay, I win.
Did you do stockings before or after presents?
Before. Stockings are the great secret to yes. parents being able to sleep in a little bit longer.
That matches my house. Perfect.
That's yours?
Yeah.
Eggnog or wassail?
Or neither.
Neither's an option, Peter.
Guys, I'm going with neither, which I hate to do in this format, but neither one really agrees with the tummy, so I'm going to have to pass.
Understood.
Hot chocolate with marshmallows or whipped topping?
Whipped topping.
Mm.
Classy.
I'm more of a marshmallow. Maybe that's a Midwestern thing.
That's
more
good.
Of a marshmallow.
I mean,
thing.
In truth, I do tend to drink it neat. But if I'm going to have something on it, I would generally go with a
chocolate
neat. Hot
chocolate
meat.
That's so classy, Peter.
And this one is
yeah,
always a major debate around all families at Christmas time. When it comes to the lights on the tree, are you just a standard white light or do you like multicolored?
Yeah, this is a big battle. I'm a white light guy, simple and classy, but the solution to that is do two trees, one multicolored in a different room.
There you go.
And then
yes.
maybe the one you like in the one room.
He's like,
you know,
peacekeeper.
You can get them. You can get the sort of cheap. Yeah, exactly.
You are a peacekeeper.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.